Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen and amen. All right, some good things. Guys, you're wonderful. You can stay up here with me if you want. No, I'm kidding. Get off the stage. All right. So many things have happened in our lives lately, and Pastor Dan has been going, and then Sunday night came around, I'm like, I can do it. So is it okay if I'm the one in front of you doing it? Because I have a word, and we've been in Women Rock on Thursday mornings. Woo-woo, where are my girls at? We have a women's AM Bible study. We have a women's PM Bible study. It's coming up, girls. So you need to come out, invite a friend. It's going to be so good. So that was just a plug because I'm up here. So anyways, if you haven't come, it's amazing. But we've been going through the book of Ephesians, which is really funny because it's very similar to Colossians. So my husband will almost preach the other side of what I preached the week before, and I'm like, hey. So God is really speaking some incredible things to our church. I believe God is bringing us into some new faith steps. He's reteaching us, for some of you that have been here, and for some of you that are new Christians, and you're learning this for the first time, that you are the righteousness of God, that you can carry Jesus inside of you, which means you carry the authority and the love of God. And it's such a beautiful thing when you can grasp a hold of what God has for us. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. I was on an airplane a few weeks ago, and we were stuck on an airplane. I had nothing to do for 3 hours because the plane just stopped working. And so I wasn't allowed to even put my seat back. Like I'm the type of person that needs my seat back. You know, my mom sits straight up in the car like this, and I sit like gangster lean, you know. So we were on the airplane, and while we were on the airplane, I was just so uncomfortable. And they were like, please don't lean your seats back. We won't put the internet on for you, nothing. We're going to be taxiing out any moment. And we never taxied out. And so as I'm sitting there, I mean, I exhausted the word of God. We exhausted every conversation. We've been together like the whole time. I'm like, I just don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, there's just nothing else to talk about. And we, like, there were no more words. And I sat there and I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to start kind of a journal of your thoughts. And I go, you don't want to know my thoughts. Not right now, because I'm irritated. And he said, just start writing. And so would you mind if I read something to you from my little journal that day? This title of the message is Ready to Go, But Going Nowhere. Okay? Maybe in life you're kind of ready to go, but you're not really going anywhere. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's next. I have to tell a cute story. My daughter just reminds me. She came into the room on Saturday. She had her friend over. And she looked really cute. I mean, she put on the cutest outfit she could find. She did her hair all up. And we're all in our jammies staring at her like, where are you going? And she's like, aren't we going to church? And I was like, well, I'm going to church, but you aren't. And she's like, oh, well, then I'm going to get into my jammies again then. But it was just so cute because it's like, how many times do we get all dressed up and we have nowhere to go? And we're kind of like, what now, God? Sometimes you feel like I'm prepared. I'm ready for whatever you want to give me, God. But I don't know what that is. Maybe you want more of God and you're on that seat and you're like, God, what's next for me? And you're not hearing cricket, cricket, cricket. You're kind of like, what's next? Maybe there's things inside of your heart He planted inside of you as a little kid and you're still waiting to see them fulfilled. You see, this is where God says, just listen. And wait for me, because I'm speaking in the silence, and I'm speaking in the waiting time. So this is from my thoughts of that day, that very fun day that we had. We went to Miami for the weekend to be with some friends at their church, and on the way home, we boarded the plane, and we were ready to go, but we were ready to go nowhere. It became one of those weird, bizarre days that no one had control of at all. We sat on the tarmac for 1 hour, only then for them to move us back to the gate to unboard us off the plane, to reboard us back onto the plane. As we sat waiting, needless to say, there was a lot of people watching going on. There was a mom and her child sitting next to me. The child had some form of autism. I saw the parents take care of her, move her things around, make space for her, put her in a place of comfort. This made me tear up. I wondered, what was their everyday like? What does it take for them to just get out of the house? What does it mean for them to have a 3-hour delay on an airplane? What are the thoughts going through this mom's head? I thought, does anyone ever tell them, well done, good job, It is hard to make sure that the child has all that they need and then to be presentable for yourself as well to be in public. When I wanted to be annoyed with the inconvenience of this day, I had to stop and I had to take my cues from this mom, who had peace and a smile on her face the whole time. She took care of all of her family. She still had joy for that journey. This woman was my hero that day. She did what was needed and she took care of her responsibility. I teared up thinking of this family and what they have endured and what was ahead of them. Humanity is so precious and it is so beautiful in the eyes of God. We can look at the artificial or we can value the innocence of a joy and of what the joy in life gives. Choose joy for this journey. See, today I was struggled. I sat there and I thought, how can I complain when this mom has so many other concerns and worries that she has to take care of? The little girl sat next to me, right next to me, and she talked to me during the trip. And honestly, I enjoyed every part of the conversation. By the end of it, she's like, what's your Facebook? And I'm like, are you going to be my friend? And then she was telling me about, you know, St. Bernard. She loves St. Bernard's. And I just thought, how precious. She didn't get annoyed. She didn't get irritated with life. She wasn't upset that the plane was not going where it should go. They were not overwhelmed. I heard other people cussing, like using the word that I beg my children not to hear. Don't listen to those people. You know, they were using every bad word. They were very upset. They were throwing things. I mean, I was like, dang, you need Jesus. And here's this woman who should have been that person. But I bet you raising her child has taught her patience. Raising her child has taught her love in a way that only God could show her, honestly. It has probably bettered her as a human being to love someone and take care of someone in that way. I have a best friend, her name is Robin, and they have a little boy who has Down syndrome, and Ryan is my nephew. And I love Ryan. One thing about Ryan is cool. Ryan is cooler than all of us, and he will let you know that he is cooler than everybody else. And every time I'm with Ryan, I realize, seriously, what is my issue? Like, Ryan is so happy and he's totally fine. And I'm the one with the issues. You see, sometimes we have to look at life and the journey of life in a sweet and innocent way. Because the world around us is so nasty. Have you noticed how nasty it is? It's getting darker and darker, bleaker and bleaker, ruined by the enemy and his schemes and the sin and his assignments. But yet, when I sat there that day, I was all dressed up to be on that airplane. I was all ready to go. My bags were packed. I wanted to be home so bad. If I would have known when I was going home to, I'd have stayed there. And our house flooded when we got home. So if you don't know that story, go get a couple messages ago. But as we were flying on that airplane, I got so much time with the Lord. I got so much time to study out the word. I got so much time to dig in deep. And sometimes God wants you to be in that very moment where he wants you all dressed up and ready to go, but not for your own purpose. He wants you all dressed up and ready to go nowhere because he needs to take you somewhere. He wants to take you down a path that only you would go if there was no other distractions. So many times our life speaks in so many other ways. I'm a mom, and just tonight I cannot tell you all the things that I went through before I got here. I got rid of a splinter. We had splinters in feet, which was gross. And then we had a brand new puppy who peed all over the house. Thank you, Mignon. No, I love the dog. But she just doesn't get it, or she's like, I don't care if you're mad at me about this. And so I'm cleaning up pee. My son is eating, and then he leaves his food everywhere. I'm cleaning up that, and I'm just like, I do not feel the anointing of God. And it was funny because it was like God was like, you don't need to worry about it because I'm with you even in this. And I had laughed all week long with the trials that were coming at us, with the things that were coming our way. Each and every one of you have your own trials. Each and every one of you have your annoying days. Each and every one of you have those moments where you feel like there's not enough or there's too much. Sometimes you're like, is there anything left in life? Or sometimes you're like, too much in life. Does someone want to take something from me? Because it would be a big help, right? Everybody's in a different season. But in that season, we're always distracted. There's TVs on, there's people calling, there's I don't know, like, just don't turn on the news right now. You're going to get angry and you're going to be all confused and everyone's going to be having their opinions. And all I know is that I can listen to what the world says, I can listen to both sides of the story, but all I know is what God says is the final. That's all I know. And that's what I have to dig in. But I can't do that when I'm so distracted by everything else. And on that plane, I had no distractions. I opened up my word. He spoke to me out of Psalms. It was just such a precious, precious time. I put in my music, my Christian music, and I just let my spirit man just be at peace. And you see, I think God wants us to have that moment. When I looked around and I saw everybody in the airport and they were all upset and they were all angry and they were so frustrated, I thought, what a waste of time. There's really nothing you can do about it. So you cussing isn't making anyone else feel better, and it's not getting you anywhere faster. The reality is this is what we have been dealt today. So how are we going to handle it? And that was where I was at. And sometimes God wants to teach us some things. And there were some people in the Bible that I believe the Lord wished would have had that attitude. But they messed things up and they went a long time searching for what God had for them. So from this story, how do I begin moving in life when it seems that I am going nowhere? How do I begin moving when I feel like life is stagnant? When I feel like it's complacent? Have you ever just been like, whatever. It is what it is. It's fine. I guess, whatever. That is, honestly, it's a slight form of depression. And you need to knock it off. Because it isn't what it is. It's what God says it is. You go, well, no, some things are is what it is. No. Not as a Christian, it's not. And let me tell you why. Because you have the one who created the heavens and the earth living inside of you. The one who tells the ocean not to come any further up on the earth living inside of you. You have the one who put every star in the sky working on your behalf. So wouldn't we just go, it is what it is. Are we really using the power of God in our lives? Are we really operating as a Christians he's asked us to be? Are we taking our Christian walk to the level that he has handed us to take it to? Sometimes you need to stop yourself when you're going, and look around. Point number one, look around. You need to stop and look around. That day when we sat there, it said in my story, there was a lot of people watching going on. And you know what happened? I love people watching. I go to Disneyland, I people watch. Do you guys, anybody else people watch? I just always wonder, like, what's their life like? What are the challenges they experience? I wonder, like, who their grandparents were and what they, I mean, I go there. I didn't think I was deep, but I guess that's probably kind of deep, right? Like, and I go there and I watch their lives. And I was watching that day and I was looking around and I was seeing two things. I was seeing what I did not want to act like. And I was seeing what I wanted to act like. That mom was my hero that day. I saw how she responded to her child. I saw how she responded to the flight crew. I saw how she responded to the unfortunate circumstance. She did not make waves. She went with the flow. She did what she needed to do. She took care of her responsibilities, and she kept a smile on her face the whole time. I want to be like that. See, look around. Because you can look around and you can see the bad, you can see the negative, you can see the not good or the overwhelming. You can always find something to complain about. Always. Or you can say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to complain today. I'm going to find my joy. I'm going to be like that lady. I'm going to do it. I'm going to look around and see through the eyes of faith and not see through the eyes of no faith. The children of Israel messed up. They did not see through the eyes of faith. If you go with me to Numbers, go with me to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. They were ready to enter Canaan. It was a beautiful land. So they sent in spies to go spy out the land and see what they were up against. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried, and all the people wept at night. And the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died. Now listen, let me explain what happened before this. When the spies went in, they came back out and they said, we cannot do this. They freaked out. They said, there's giants in the land. We can't go against them. Listen, Rock Church, what's your giant that you're facing? What is too big that you're going, oh, I can't? What is it you're seeing not through the eyes of faith, but in a practical way? Because they came back and they were very practical. They said, we're not going to defeat this. We can't go there. It's too big. I can't do this. And then there were two men in that group. Two, not the whole group. So you're going to have to go against the flow. When you look around, there's not going to be many like you. When you look around, you're probably going to be the only one on a different page. God says you live in this world, but you are not of this world. That the road is narrow. Listen, there may not be a whole bunch of you, but what is of you, there is a power inside of us that is stronger than anything else that we're going to come up against. So when you get up, look around. Stop looking through the eyes of the practical and begin to look through the eyes of faith. What does God say about it? What do I need to change in my thinking? What am I saying over my life? Maybe I need to change what I'm saying and speaking over myself. You see, when you look at your destination and when you look at what you're seeing, God does something amazing. And then it says, the congregation, they cried, if only we had died, verse 2, in the land of Egypt, and only if we had died in the wilderness. Okay, wait, hold the phone. Let me get this right. God took a lifetime to raise up Moses, put him through all of that just so you would have a savior because he heard your cry. He takes you out of Egypt, out of slavery. You cross the Red Sea, it parts for you. You have manna dropping from the sky. You have so many miracles and signs and wonders, and God is working on your behalf over and over again. And you say, if only we would have died. If only we could go back to what, slavery? You see, church, I think we're the same way. We can judge them all we want. But when life doesn't give us what we want, we go to complaining. We go to the worst right away. But we need to look up to the one who created heaven and earth, and we need to begin to see through the eyes of faith. You need to be the one that is awed. You need to be the one that makes no sense. You need to be the one that says, no, I'm not going to go there because my word says I can believe for greater. My word says that I can do more through Christ who strengthens me. You see, that's what God is asking of us. So here they were, and I just can't believe this. When I read this, I'm like so mad at them. But then I realize I can't be mad at them. We're human. We would probably be the same way. And it says, if only I had died in the land of Egypt, if only I had died in the wilderness. Verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword and that our wives and our children would become victims? Wouldn't it not been better for us to return to Egypt? I love how we blame God for everything, don't you? Like they were the dummies that didn't listen to God. But why would God do this to us? How many times has God told you to do something, you didn't do it, so you reaped the outcome of your disobedience, and then all of a sudden you're like mad at God for it? That's my favorite as pastor. Like that's when I'm standing there like, as I'm listening. Okay, well go back to what God told you to do. Oh, you didn't do that? Yeah, that's probably why you're in this situation. Now let's talk to the Redeemer who can restore all things back and make it right. Because we as humans, we do that. We just go there, and God says, stop going there. Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So you're out, Moses. You're out. Thanks for taking us this far, but it's not been good enough, so we're going to go back. We're going to go truck through all that land that God brought us through, and we're going to return to slavery. What are they looking around and seeing? I don't know what could have been worse that they came out of, but they forgot where they came. They forgot the hell they came out of. Where did you come out of? Oh man, I almost died. I was a hot mess. I was a sinner of all sinners. I needed a redeemer. I was on my way to hell. And every time I'm on that front row, I go back to that day I almost died. I go back to that room I was in the day I almost died because I was beaten so bad that I didn't know if I was gonna make it. You see, everyone has a testimony. What's yours? What has God done for you that you've stopped looking at? I never go back to that moment that I said, I'm such a horrible person. I was broken. You know, Pastor Jess was a screwed up person. I had sex before marriage and it got me in a whole bunch of trouble. I was not serving God then. Can you handle this testimony? Are you guys okay? I had two abortions, not one, two. I felt alone. I was all by myself at 15 years old. I found myself in places I didn't want to go. I was with people I didn't know that I could even meet. I was in places that my parents, if they only knew. But I'll tell you something. I had a God looking down from heaven on me and saying, come on, just reach up. Just reach up because I hear your mama's prayers. And I'm going to pull you straight out of hell, baby girl. And I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm going to restore you. You see, every time I look up to heaven, I go, thank you. I will never want to go back to how I felt then. I would never want to go back to those clubs that brought me nothing. I would never want to go back to those beds that brought me nothing but hell. I would never want to go back to those things that burned me and seared my conscience. I would never want to go back. I don't understand this. But see, I have kept my eyes on the one who is my Savior. I look around and I see faith. When I don't want to see faith, I make myself see faith. You think as a pastor, I like these empty seats? Do you think I do? Well, pastors hate empty seats. They want every soul in the seat to get saved, to get into heaven, to occupy heaven. That's our goal. And I'll tell you something. Every time I walk in, I see empty parking lots, parking spots. I need you guys to start praying with me. Start praying with me. Fill that spot, God, in Jesus' name. Fill that seat with a soul that needs to know who Jesus is in Jesus' name. I began to speak those things because maybe I don't see it. But oh, I know the one who can fill it. I know the one that can do it. I know the one that puts it inside of me and it keeps me going. Because if I went by what this world said, I would fail. I would go back to that broken, hot mess of a girl that didn't deserve anything. But I had a Savior who died on the cross for me, who redeemed me, who restored me, who put me all back together and gave me a wonderful husband with an incredible marriage. And I was able to have babies. I was told I was never going to have children. Chloe was a miracle. And then I had three others. Crazy. I'm so undeserving, but he is such a gracious God. You see, God is so good. Look around. Look around. I love this. I'm going to move down. It says, but Joshua, verse 6, and the son of Nun, Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Ooh, they were upset. Verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land. He will give it to us in the land which flows with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor the fear of people or land, for they are the bread. The protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Joshua and Caleb saw God in the land. They didn't see the giants. They didn't see what was impossible. They saw past the impossible to the possible. They saw the God plan. They saw the God direction. They saw where they should go. They saw where they have to make themselves leap to. You see, sometimes you're going to have to stir yourself up. Sometimes you're going to have to stop talking to those people because they're feeding and breeding horrible things into your heart. They're feeding and breeding discouragement and deception. You go, but they say they love me. Oh, they say they do. And they're not doing it on purpose. But you're a new creation in Christ. You were bought with a price. So what gets into your heart should come from heaven. What you see through your eye gate gets into your heart, and that is where God speaks to us. And when we look around and we begin to choose what God chooses, things begin to happen. Fill your situation with God. This is what will carry you to the promised land. It will be that step from going nowhere to going somewhere, guys. If you want to go somewhere, look to God. It may take time. I promise you it's going to take time. You might be in that moment where you're going, well, what is taking so long? Why is God delaying? Listen, he's working all things out for the good of those that love the Lord. Give him some time. He's got to move this person. He's got to change that plan. He's got to move that circumstance. Listen to me. We just got a house, and I was talking to my neighbor about it. We had so many problems with this house, and I'm like, whatever, it's God's gift to me. I will take it and receive it. And so as we have this house, it's a beautiful home. We love this home. It's so perfect for our family. My neighbor said to me, it was really weird. The neighbors didn't want to move. They weren't going to move. They were never going to sell their house. One day they came over, they were like, we're going to sell our house, and we don't know why. And I was like, well, I know why. Because we were looking for a house, and God knew it would be a perfect house for us. And you see, God is working on your behalf. I bet you where they're at now is even better for them because God takes care of his people. God loves his people. He's a good God, and he's a faithful. So if it's taking time, just hold on. He's coming. It's going to take some faith. It's not the, oh, hum, I don't know. It's, you know, I know what God's word says. Change that thought. Because the enemy's going to come in and he's going to steal your faith thoughts. He's going to come in and he's going to attack your mind. Oh, see, that's not happening. Or see, those people aren't falling into place. And see, ooh, your finances are being attacked. And oh, there he goes again. That husband, he's saying what he should be saying. Oh, look at your wife. She's not doing what she should be doing. And then you got to go, stop it. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at God. And God says, and God says, and God says, and you say what God says. You don't say what others say. You say what God says. You get yourself back into faith. You stir yourself up. You go get accountability partners. Ashley, stand up. This is Ashley. Can everybody say hi to Ashley? When I need to be encouraged and I say, I don't feel good, what does Ashley say to me? Ashley, what are some things you tell me? Come on. That's right. And what do you say? And you always say, Pastor Jess, we got this. Pastor Jess, we got this. And I'm like, that's right, we got this. We got this. Because when I don't feel like we have this, I just need to be told, we got this. Okay? So can you say, I got this? There you go. You got this. Come on. And then it's going to take a little bit of endurance. And the saddest part of this and the hardest part of it is going to take some persecution. Because when you do something for Christ, everywhere and every Lord of heaven is going to come against you. Every demon in hell is going to come after you. But when you know that's what's happening, that's when you pull your sword out and your shield up and you can say, oh no, not today, Satan, not today. You're not going to get me down. I sat on that airplane, I said, not today. I pulled out that crazy amount of money to get my basement cleaned up the day. I said, not today. I handed the guy my credit card information. I slid it across at 2:00 in the morning and I looked straight at that man and I said, I'm a tither. This will be paid off. And he went, okay. But it was something inside of me that rose up. And I had to speak faith over that because I had to let Satan know, you're not going to be the devourer that works on my behalf. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and you are not touching my finances. I'm a tither. I bring offering to the house of God. I build your kingdom, Lord. You cover me and you build my kingdom. You build this house. You build my children. You take care of these finances. And let me tell you something. Have we not had every bill paid? I literally have no idea how. I just go, well, whatever, it doesn't add up, but God's good. Because he works all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Look to God. Caleb's words, listen to me. Caleb's words declared a conviction and a confession to Israel. And he looked around at the land and he was reminded that faith isn't blind. Faith is not blind. Faith does not deny the reality of the difficulty in your life. It declares the power of God in the face of life's circumstances. We need the power of God working on our behalf. So when you get in faith, you just put the power of God on it and you don't let the devil steal it from you. That's what you're going to do. You're going to look around. There's a lesson in your surroundings, so look around for it. Number two, take your cues from God. That day I had to take my cues from that mom, remember? She was smiling, she was at peace, she was in a good place. I was like, I could do that. If she could do it, I could do that. If she could do it, I could do it, right? Well, if God can do it, you could do it. And he did it. He walked on this earth. He performed miracles, signs, and wonders. And then when he left, he said, I give that to you. All power and authority is yours. What are we doing? Not using it on behalf. Take your cues from God. You find yourself in a stagnant, no moving position in life. Begin to take your cues from God and ask him to move on your behalf. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given unto you. And seek me and you will find me. Knock and it will be open to you. I don't know about you, but you just need to keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Well, just be that with heaven. Come on, God. I need more of you. Come on, God. I need my cues from you. Come on, God. I need to know what you would do in this situation because I want to be more like you, God. God, I need to be more like you. So, Lord, what did you do? And many times in life, I have found myself asking God, I feel like just alone in this, or I don't know how to get through this heartache, or I don't know how to get through this obstacle. And the Lord would bring me to parables, or he would bring me to stories in the Word of God, and I'm like, oh, you went through it too. Oh, you were rejected by men too. Oh, you were spit on and beat. Yeah, oh yeah. Never mind, I'm good. You know, like, take your cues from God. When he said, turn the other cheek, Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. All of those things seem crazy, but that's how God did it. You overcome by love. But the only way we know how to do that is to take our cue from God. Psalms 25:5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me to your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Oh, that you and I, on you, I wait all day." Sometimes you're just going to have to wait on God. But in your waiting, choose to look to him. Choose to stay in faith. Choose to not get off course. Choose to wait for the answer. Choose to find a smile on your face. Choose to be who God's asked you to be. He never said, while you're in the waiting, you can be like Eeyore. Ho-hum. Life is just the way it is. You know, I always loved Winnie the Pooh as a little kid because he was so happy. And then there was Eeyore. Ho-hum. Da-da-da. I hated Eeyore. I was like, why do they even have that character in here? Like, sometimes I pictured myself as a kid, like, ripping his tail off and just, like, poking him with it just to see if he would have any reaction, because he never actually had a reaction. Sometimes the devil is taking your tail off and poking you, and you're just letting him. And God is saying, knock it off. Take your cue from me. You have all authority over principalities of darkness. You have the power of God working on your behalf. This is coming out of Wine, Room, and Rock messages, because I'm telling you something. When you understand what we carry, there's no excuse for us not to be more like Christ. There's no excuse for us to stand a little taller, to know who we are, to not let the enemy beat us up from pillar to post. There's no excuse for us to take our cues from the world, but I'm going to take my cues from God. I'm not going to go by what's popular or what the public says, but I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. And if the Word says it, it's truth. And I'm going to live it out, and I'm going to live it out. You see, church, that's the kind of Christian God is asking us to be. Ones that live it out and ones that do it and work it out. You're going to have to work out your salvation. You're going to have to take your cues from God. Ask him about it. Do what he says. You'll stop there if you don't. You're going to stay in that same spot if you don't obey God. When you obey God, the world is open to you. When you disobey God, you tie his hands. Obey God. What did he tell you to do with life? What is he asking of you? What is he saying for you to give up? What is he saying for you to leave behind to carry your cross? What is God asking of you to leave behind so you can step into a new walk of holiness? What is God saying to you that he needs from you? You go, it's really not that big of a deal. I just feel like maybe he's asking me, I don't know, Pastor Jess, to stop smoking. It's not a sin. It's not bad. No, but maybe God is saying it's a distraction. And it's not healthy for your body, the temple I'm living in. And maybe he's asking you to stop. Don't think that that's like a prophetic word for you. Maybe it is. But there was a time in my life when I was a teenager and we were smoking, me and my friends. And I remember we were serving God, but we were 18. So we were like, we're 18. We can totally do this. It's not illegal. So stupid, right? So then my friend comes to me. She says, listen, we've got to stop because this is one more thing between us and God. And I said, you're right. I just want more of him so much that I want to give it all up. As soon as we did, we never had a problem stopping because God just healed us. Because it was what God wanted from us. He wanted all of us poured out on the altar. I couldn't take my cues from God with something in between because I was going to something before I was going to him when I was stressed out. It was another thing that I could rely on instead of God. And let me say something. He doesn't want anything between you and him. He wants all of you so that when he says, do this, you go, yes, sir, I got this. You can hear him clearly. You can move forward. You can walk beautifully. You can walk out in peace. God wants that from you. See how he responds to those who do him wrong. Jesus loved people. Those that did him wrong, he turned the other cheek. Some of you are going, oh, no, I'm going to punch him in their face. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with my family. But you know what? The reality is that day that I got beat up and I had to go home. Kim, you might remember that day. I came to the office. I got my sister Kim and I was really broken. And she said, we got to go home. We got to go tell dad. And I went, oh God, like, I don't want to tell him. I think I was more scared to tell my dad than I was like anything else. We pulled up and we got out of the car and my face was bloody. I was all beat up. And Dad just dropped the hose he was watering out in the front yard. And he said, come here. And he hugged me and he loved me. And he said, it's gonna be okay. He never went crazy. He didn't say, oh, I'm getting a gun, I'm gonna kill him. He never did any of that. That crazy guy tried calling my dad and trying to repent and everything to my dad. And you know what my dad did? Tried to help him, but then said, don't you ever call here again and do not come near my daughter. But he still loved him even. I'm telling you, I took my cues from my dad in that situation because I could have hated my abuser. But you know what? All these years, I've prayed that he would know Jesus one day and that his life would be restored and that God would heal him, that he would have a beautiful family and he'd be able to live a good life here on earth. Because I don't hate my enemies. I have to pray for them. But it takes a while to get there. It takes some healing. And you know what it took? It took me to look to Jesus to see how he did things. And then I said, okay, then I can do it that way. You are God's hands and feet. Someone is watching you to see how you handle circumstances. And then they're going to act in that way. Be a good representative of Jesus Christ in your walk through your circumstances because someone is watching. Number three, how do you get moving when life seems like it's going nowhere? You have to choose joy. Joy is a choice. It's not something that just comes. You have to choose joy. So can I tell you another story? I had no examples, but I'm just talking. Are you guys okay? Today, Pastor Dan and me, we always come to church together in the morning. And so I'm trying to get the kids in the car. Everything seemed really good while Dan was there. It was like the anointing in the house was there. Then Dan says, you guys are late. I'm leaving you. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll catch up. So I'm finishing up my makeup. The mascara breaks, and it like splatters all over my face. And it's like waterproof. So you should have seen me. I looked so ridiculous. I had to take all my makeup off. I had to go wash my hair again, which totally delayed everything. I had a little powder thing and dropped my foot. My foot popped open a vessel. It like popped off my foot. My foot blew up like this big and turned black. And I was like, oh no, church starts in like 10 minutes. What am I gonna do? Like I was like freaking out, you know? The anointing left with Dan. And so I'm like, what do I do? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you know what to do. And I said, I command you in the name of Jesus, you vain, you go back because I got to wear shoes. And I'm not kidding you. I put on my shoes and I walked out of that house and I was fine. By the time I got to church, I had no bruise. I had nothing going on. I was like, what? That was crazy, right? God is funny. Then I'm sitting there and I'm not feeling good. I'm like, after first service, I'm like, oh, this is not good. Like, I got to preach tonight. And I'm not feeling good. And so I go to the back and I'm like praying in tongues and I'm going over my message during second service. I'm telling the devil to go to hell, you know? And I get home, I take a little 10-minute nap and I'm telling you, I woke up like power woman, like I'm good. I got this. Like there's nothing on me now. Cause you know why? Cause I took my cue, I chose my joy. I wasn't gonna let him steal it. And I'll tell you in my spirit, man, I was laughing all day. Like inside, I was like, you're so stupid if you think these dumb things are gonna get me down. Like you're so dumb, you know? Like, and you just have to choose joy. Laugh on the inside when Satan comes to bring something that would normally make you mad, that would normally take you off your rocker, right? Like those things, don't let them get you down. Choose joy. If you're a spouse in here and the other spouse doesn't always choose joy, this week I want you to be like, choose joy, choose joy. Like when you get bad news, choose joy. Because it's not a circumstance, it's a choice. Happiness is temporary. You know, you can go to Disneyland and think you're at the happiest place on the earth, and it is Disney hell. You stand in line, you pay too much for food, it's always too hot, somebody always poops himself if you have kids. And it's just like you go home thinking, why did I pay that much money for that? But you know, you come to the house of God and it's refreshing. You get in your word and it's refreshing. You get filled up and it fills you up and you feel washed over and you go, oh, I can choose joy again. Put on some Christian music. Listen to a message maybe you weren't in a service for. Go find God in your moment of frustration. Choose joy, church, because you can. Not because you have to, but because you can. When our eyes get off the problem, we need to take them off the problem. We need to set them on the problem solver. We can have joy. Joy is the confidence of God's goodness. Ooh, I love that. I don't know if you caught that. Joy is the confidence of God's goodness. That's what, when I'm not sure, but I am sure because God's good. Something's coming at me, and God's good. He's got my back. You want to say those things about me? That's all right. God's good. He's got my back. I don't care what you say about me. You can say all that you want, but God says I'm created and I'm loved by him. You see, you can go into a circumstance that should defeat you and be undefeated. You can, because you've got someone on your back cheering you on from heaven saying you've got this. Psalms 42:11 in the Message. I loved how this says this. It says, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. Can you guys just smile for me? Everybody smile. See, you look so much happier right now. This is what Christians should look like, right? So just keep smiling. Try to see if you can smile until the end of service. Okay, this is your challenge. Psalms 35, it says, for his anger is but for a moment. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes I'll go to bed. It hasn't been the greatest day. I'll say to Dan, there's always tomorrow. And I will go to sleep, and I choose joy that next day. Start your day off right with God, like Pastor Dan talked about this morning. Put God first in your life. Everything else follows in priority. When God is not your priority, you will fail in life because that's not how we were created as his kids. He's always meant to be first. John 15:11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I want to be full. We just sang it tonight. I want to be filled up with God's goodness. I want to walk on this earth that's nasty and broken and has no hope as the hope giver. I want to be the one that says, oh, hi, how are you? You look beautiful today. And people go, really? Okay. Nobody's ever told me that in a long time. Or maybe, so you walk by somebody who seems sad and you say, would it be okay if I prayed for you? Nobody ever denies prayer. Not even atheists. Because in their moment of desperation, they know that there's something inside of us as humanity knowing and crying out for the one who created us. I don't care who you are, you know you were created. And God is calling his people back to him. God is bringing us in, and he's swooning us in, and he's bringing us back because he's raising up an army that's going to be dressed and ready to go. When the cue from heaven says, go, we're going to be ready for the attack. We're going to be ready to fight. We're going to be ready to stand up and say, not today, Satan. You're going to be ready for the cue. You're going to have too many places to go because God's got a whole bunch of assignments for you. So let's look to God when we feel like we're not going anywhere and see through eyes of faith, because that's what he's asking of us, guys. Look to God. Take your cues from him. Because he loves you, he already did this, so follow in his footsteps. Do what Jesus would do. I know that's totally cliche, but do what he would do. Take your cues from him. And then choose joy because it's a choice. And it's something that is our gift from heaven. So tonight, did you get something from God today? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.